This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico. More than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Von der Leyen and Macron go to Beijing. I'm Leanna Byrne, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Tensions between China and other global superpowers are high, and it seems that they all have a term for cooling their relationship with Beijing. The US is decoupling, the EU is de-risking. And that's the context as the head of the European Commission and the president of France touch down in China. Trade and the war in Ukraine are expected to be on the agenda. But let's get the details from the BBC's Mariko Oi. Hi, Mariko.
Hi there.
So first of all, why are von der Leyen and Macron there? What's the objective here?
Well, I guess there's quite a lot to discuss, isn't there? So for the French president, President Macron, he wants to push ahead with this trade accord, which, if ratified, could boost trade and investment ties between the EU and China. But also, he's actually invited Ursula von der Leyen on this trip. And there, they want to ask China, persuade China to use its influence over Russia to bring peace in Ukraine, or at least to prevent Beijing from helping its allies. Of course, there have been allegations that China might be providing arms to Russia, which Beijing denies. That's something that they will definitely be wanting to talk to Xi Jinping about when they meet on Thursday.
Ursula von der Leyen has talked about de-risking the EU's relationship with China. What exactly does that mean, Mariko?
I think what she meant was not becoming too dependent on China. And, you know, that's something that I think a lot of major economies found out at the beginning of the pandemic, how crucial role China and Chinese companies were playing in the global supply chain. Of course, geopolitically as well, she was saying that they should be de-risking from, too close ties to China. And her comments didn't go down too well when she said it last week. But I think from the Chinese point of view, given the tensions with Washington, quite a lot of experts are expecting at least a warm welcome when they arrive and when they meet tomorrow.
The BBC's Mariko Oi in Singapore. Thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, three of the world's biggest grain distributors have announced they will leave Russia by July. US giant Cargill and Dutch groups Louis Dreyfus and Viterra say pressure from the government in Moscow and operational difficulties following the invasion of Ukraine have made staying in Russia unfeasible. The Russian government said this will not affect its grain exports, which have not been targeted by international sanctions. Now, let's do the numbers. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand has increased interest rates by 0.5%, their highest level in nearly 15 years. Central banks elsewhere in the world are slackening the pace of their monetary tightening campaigns. And yesterday we had Credit Suisse's AGM, today we have UBS's. Shareholders there aren't so much angry by the merger between the two banks, but they're concerned. Leading shareholder activist group Ethos Foundation warned that the size of UBS when it merges would expose shareholders to systemic risk. They're also worried about high pay. The chair of UBS, Colm Kelleher, responded, and I quote, "I believe UBS has a robust governance and compensation approach." Now, how can you have a busy airport and also keep residents around that airport happy? In Holland, politicians attempted to cut flights at the main Schiphol airport near Amsterdam by 10%, or 60,000 flights a year. They were concerned about noise and emissions, but that was opposed by several airlines, and a court has just ruled the move wasn't legally valid, as correct processes weren't followed. The BBC's Anna Holligan spoke to some of those living under the flight path.
Schiphol Airport is a major artery in global aviation, providing the connections that contribute to this small nation's prosperity. But it's situated in one of the most densely populated parts of the country.
I've come to meet Joris Gerritsen and his family. As you can hear, they live very close to Schiphol Airport.
We put triple glass in it, or actually double glass with a high, very high reduction, noise reduction gas in it.
Joris is showing me how they try to keep the aircraft noise out of their home.
Well, bearable, I would say.
Does the government give you any subsidies for making these kinds of changes?
The government and Schiphol did in the past, but this is an extra part of the house that we made in what is called the uitbouw. So no, not nowadays, but they did some isolation before. But, well, they say the money is, it ran out of money for isolation on the homes.
You adjust for quite a part.
Mandy Gerritsen finds it hard to sleep.
Last few months have been really intense. They want to grow, and I don't think it's possible here. This house was built earlier than Schiphol was built. Why should we move?
The Dutch government says it's listening and is striving to strike a balance between the economic benefits of being home to Europe's third busiest airport and ensuring a healthy living environment and tackling noise pollution. The reason given for reducing the annual number of flights from 500,000 to 440,000.
Five airlines went to court accusing the government of breaching EU and international law.
It's very, very difficult. There is no real precedent for cuts of this kind.
Chris Goser is head of corporate communications.
It does impact on international sort of open skies agreements. There are carriers from other parts of the world who are flying in and using Schiphol. So how you decide to say, well, you can fly there, but you can't, is very, very difficult and, yeah, would take a lot of careful consideration. This sort of cut to numbers at an airport has huge knock-on implications for the whole international system in terms of slot rights and schedules.
BBC's Hannah Holligan with that report. And finally, Bernard Arnault, the French tycoon behind luxury goods group LVMH, might have a few reasons to smile, a few billion reasons. Already the world's richest man, the rising share price meant his fortune increased by $2 billion on Tuesday to just over $200 billion. Only Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk have previously hit that milestone. I'm Leanna Byrne, and from the BBC World Service, thanks for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.